Maggie Harp from the Positive Powwow. And tonight we have a very special guest on our show. His name is Eli Whitney, or Thomas. I'm sorry. Where did I get Whitney from? Eli Thomas is a Native American artist that I had the pleasure to meet and at several different shows across the United States. And I wanted to have him on to tell a little bit about his artwork and what he does and how he got involved in painting. He does some amazing work. And Eli is of Native American descent. And so the thing that I thought was really interesting about his artwork is that every picture of his tells a story. There's a lot of symbolism in it. And he's got very, very vivid, bright colors. And every single painting that he has a Native American history or story behind it. And symbolism is put into each and every picture. And so I thought it was very, very different. It was very interesting. I have some of his artwork in my home. And I wanted to be able to introduce him to all of you so that he could tell you his story, how he became involved in art, what his background is, what his favorite types of media are to use, things like that. So we're going to bring him right on. Hey, Eli, are you there?
Yeah.
Eli, it's great to talk with you. I haven't seen you in a couple of months. How is your summer going so far?
Going good.
That's great. I know that you're a really busy guy, so thank you very much for taking the time out to do the show with us tonight. I know that you travel a lot with your artwork to different shows, and I know that you're a very busy man, and I'm very excited to have you on tonight, so thank you again for taking the time. So first, to get started, I'd like for you just to tell everybody a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with your artwork. Is it something that you've been doing since you were a small child, or is it something that you developed later in life, and how it relates to your culture and what types of media you like to use, things like that?
Grew up on Onondaga Nation territory, and I am full-blooded Onondaga. My mom is Wolf Clan and my dad's Beaver Clan, so I'm Wolf Clan because of my mom. And growing up at Onondaga, I grew up with oral tradition. And I have a perspective on things that is indigenous. Indigenous, like having roots to the land, or indigenous, like listening to the elders. So growing,
and I think that's amazing. And every time I get to see you, you have a different story to tell me about a different painting that you've done, or a story that you've shared about your mission and the people there. How old were you, say, when you got started doing this? I know that you were raised in the oral tradition, but about how old were you when you started with your artwork?
4.
You were 4 years old. Wow, that's amazing. And what mediums did you start with? What did you use when you first learned to draw?
Paper and pencil.
And so how did it evolve for you? Does it just come to you because of the symbolism of your culture that you found out what you'd like to use in your artwork? How did it develop for you? How did you come along the path to where you are now?
Well, in first and second grade, I would have time to draw pictures for my classmates and friends and different people. And I had lines of people all the time waiting for my drawings. And it would always be what the people wanted me to draw. I could try to draw what they wanted me to draw, and then I could like tell a story with the drawings, you know, that there was something to say about the way the drawing came alive. And that was first and second grade. So in the ninth grade, when I was in the ninth grade, I call my work landscape imagery, where the images are subtle to complement the landscape. And I'm able to narrate my experiences and culture through the landscape imagery. And I've been, since 1987, I have been working with schools, with artisan residency enrichment programs, and I would work with universities and colleges, different church groups, and you know, a lot of other groups. I would be doing that enrichment and artisan residency programs.
I think that's amazing, and I think the most interesting thing that you said to me is just how I know how you are as a person, that it came to you inherently, that these kids wanted you to draw a picture of, let's say, a lion, but that's not how it came to you. You initially do it that way, but what came from within is what had to come out on the paper.
Right.
And I just think that's so amazing. And so because of your bloodline and because of the Native American culture, these stories were within you from the oral tradition. And so they flowed out onto the paper, whatever your thoughts and visions were at the time, right?
Right. Yep.
That's just so cool. I think that's amazing. And your work is just so beautiful to me. And I know that, the ones that I have are painting. Is that your favorite medium, would you say, to work with, or do you use all different sorts of things?
I like the transparent watercolors and the acrylic paints. And the acrylic paints, they are labeled, where some of them are opaque in their color and others are transparent. So I'm able to use that kind of difference in the paints and make some pretty good transparent, I guess, or reflective kind of things in the artwork, and a glow of light, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, that's the other thing that's definitely, it reflects in your work, is that they almost have a 3D effect to them. You know, it's really neat that you have almost sometimes pictures behind pictures, you know, like in the sky and things like that. I think that's awesome. And it must be hard for you, though, because of how gifted you are and how everything comes from within you. How is it that you're able to teach students? Is it basically just an art program, you know, teaching them the basics of painting or watercolor? Because they don't have the gifts that they do inside of them to be able to project what you see and feel inside on paper. Do you encourage them to use their gifts inside creatively, or do you just teach them like the basics?
Well, I had a group coming over to the house here, and they would, maybe about seven or eight of them, and I would teach them how to draw, where you fold up a piece of paper very evenly, and you put it in your pocket, and you got a couple pencils that you carry, and you go out the path, and you walk the path, and you on the path, you may see something, so you get your paper and your pencil, and you draw a picture of what you see in nature. And then with that drawing paper, you can have a lot of experiences captured on each square of that paper when it's folded. You put it in your pocket with it full of drawings, and you come back to the studio, pull it out of your pocket, open it up, and see all the perspectives that you've seen, and your eye will like maybe one or two of all the images that you draw, and you you'll remember that. Maybe a couple pictures by looking at these drawings, you'll remember things. And for me, when you look at work that way, where you know you're able to capture something in the natural world, that's a part of that whole thought of we being connected and related. Nothing stands alone. We always find ways to recognize in American English that what we're seeing around us is wild, but in reality, it's all natural. There's no border. There's no border, so that we can be connected and related to things that are around us. When there's a border, that's a wild or a wilderness that's in front of us, and that line, we are more superior than all the living things around us because we can do a lot of things that other living things can't do in our minds. That's the way we see it. But when you say that the world is natural and you're a part of that naturalness, you can describe the beauty, the freedom, the peaceful enjoyment, the righteousness, all the different things that we want. We can see that occurring in the natural world all around us when we have this connectedness. But, you know, it's just a matter of perspective. Like I said, I have a perspective of looking at the world through an indigenous perspective, where there's a lot of people that have no idea what that indigenous perspective is. But basically, it's with a good mind and a good heart, we are thankful. And in the way that we are thankful, we have Thanksgivings every day, sometimes three times a day.
And I agree, absolutely.
For people to listen to a Thanksgiving, and when it's said that we are, our minds are at one, that there is an agreement that we make that what is said, we agree to what we hear. And how wonderful to think that in a way that we can be thankful for things and be sincere with our gratitude, that little ones that are around us can learn that way. And they possibly, because it's so genuine of a thing, like it's very real, that they can teach their little ones that are around them as they get older to be thankful. I grew up wondering, people would come over to me that spoke American English and they'd say, what can we do? What can we do? You know, and from an indigenous perspective, the hope is keeping that good mind and good heart and being thankful and also being where as you speak, you know that little ones are going to be hearing what you say. So try to be very appreciative. Everything and acknowledge that connectedness we have every day. And I think that's a good way. That's a good way to be indigenous.
That's a great perspective, and it's so deep. And so many people don't look at things from an open perspective. And it is so important to teach our little ones the ways of our culture and the way that you enable people to connect with nature, going back to your story with folding the piece of paper and then bringing it back to the studio and enabling them to use their own imagination to see what comes through on the paper. That is just so extraordinary to me. It's just such a different approach than anything that I'd ever heard before. And being able to raise up children in our culture and teach them whatever ways we were raised to believe in, we're able to also carry that tradition on through the generations, both orally and on paper. So you're able to essentially, with what you do, kill two birds with one stone and also educate people to your culture as well. So I think that's incredibly amazing. Let's talk about, what is your favorite? Do you have a favorite piece of art? You have so many. I know that when I'm able to visit you at different shows that you do, your load-in time, you know, anybody that's a musician can appreciate this too, but you know, you're packing up your vehicle and you're driving to your venue and then you're unpacking and putting everything out on tables or on a stage and making everything presentable. You literally have boxes and boxes and boxes of artwork, and everyone in itself is so unique and so individual and so beautiful that how many would you say, how many different paintings would you say right now are in your collection that you have up for sale?
64.
Oh my goodness. And I know that you have, all of them have stories in them. All of them have the Native American symbolism and also things that have been shown to you in your artwork. What would you say is your favorite piece of art to date? What's your favorite picture?
I don't know. Turtle Island, I guess.
Turtle Island?
Yeah. I do have a YouTube video up for my pieces of artwork. And
that's right.
Turtle Island is one of them.
How do people find your YouTube? What would they type in to get to your YouTube station to be able to see your art?
Eli Thomas Art at YouTube.
And that video is about how long, would you say?
I don't know, about 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. And it's got different pieces that you've done on there, and Turtle Island is one of them.
Yeah.
What symbolism would you say you put into Turtle Island if we were to choose just that one, going through the picture? Because I know my favorite is the one that I most recently purchased from you, and we can talk about that one in a few minutes. But what's in Turtle Island that makes it special? What makes it different than any other artist? Let's talk about the symbolism there and the stories involved.
I have blueberry branches that are images of children and their young boys around the bottom of the tree on that Turtle Island. And the tree is eastern white pine. And the peacemaker at one time said that eagles will make their homes on the top of these trees, so that anytime the birds are there in their home, there would be peace on earth for anyone who'd find shelter underneath those branches.
Wow.
And so to me, when I paint birds, it's of my memories growing up on a nation that the birds taught us to be careful, like they would make sounds all the time, and sometimes when the sounds weren't there, that's when they would tell us, you know, watch out, there's somebody coming up the road. So
wow.
We would go look down the road a little bit there, and sure enough, maybe there's someone coming. So we'd all run and hide, and when the people came up to the dead-end road, they'd never see us playing because the birds would warn us if people would come up the road. You know, it was that kind of thing, you know, where we were connected to the world and having a peaceful enjoyment with the birds. Peaceful enjoyment is what they are when the birds are near. We are experiencing a peaceful enjoyment. So you know, that's how I grew up, and that's what I look at as being a good thing, and that we are thankful for the birds for reminding us of the peaceful enjoyment that occurs that we're able to experience.
That's amazing. That is so neat. And so in Turtle Island, is there any other symbolism that you'd like to talk about aside from the birds?
Oh yeah, those boys in the branches, the Western doorkeeper and Eastern doorkeepers of the Haudenosaunee, they're Eastern doorkeeper Mohawks and Western doorkeeper Senecas. And I painted birds as eyes for those two profiles of boys in the branches of the on that Turtle Island. Above the boys, the bottom of that tree, and at the bottom of the tree, there is a sky woman image of she's got a dress on and she's just standing there at the bottom of the tree as an image. And she's there on that Turtle Island as a reminder that she was the first one to sing and dance in praise of a gift that was presented to her. And nowadays, all indigenous people all over the world have many songs and dances in praise of the many gifts that surround us today. And we can always look back, like our Onondaga Nation, our creation story, it complements that of the indigenous people in the highlands of Guatemala. We have the same creation story, and they talk about this island that was out in the ocean.
Wow.
Pacific Ocean. That they call Turtle Island. That, you know, we couldn't see it as it really grew into something really special. And in growing in that way, the people that were living on that island were singing and dancing. And the people were also getting, according to the indigenous people in Guatemala, they said that the island was gonna sink. And according to the records, it was when the woolly mammoth was around was when that island sank.
Wow.
You know, that's something that was happening long time ago. And the woolly mammoths, when they get them, they thaw them out and they examine them, and in the mouth they see tropical vegetation is in the mouth of these woolly mammoths. And that goes to show that within a 24-hour period, these woolly mammoths were in blocks of ice, you know, within a very short period of time, and they were preserved in that fashion. So,
wow, according that's amazing.
According to the way that the story's told, the whole thing is it's connected and related, that people would go out after the woolly mammoth, and there'd be like maybe five people, six people that were hunters that were running with the woolly mammoth, and then they were stabbing it, and then they would stab it more and more, and as they got to stab it a lot, it started to be still and to be not moving. And then that's when about 60 other people would come, and they would help to bring down the woolly mammoth, and then they'd chop it up as fast as they could and then carry up on top the hills, because there were 10-foot bears that could smell blood 10 miles away. And
10-foot bears?
Yeah,
wow.
10-foot bears called small-nosed or pushed-in nose bear, but it was 10 feet high when the woolly mammoth was around. So they would get the meat up on top the hill. They would carry it up on top the hill with this woolly mammoth, about 60 people as a family, and they would do it fast so that when the bear came, he would only get what they couldn't carry or what they couldn't take. And they tried to take it as much as they could. Anyways, the whole thing about that is that there were people in Schoharie Creek, and that's out near Cobleskill, New York, and there were
I'm familiar with Schoharie. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and there were people out in Naples, New York, and the people in Naples were creating things out of stone that the people in Schoharie were also creating at the same time when this woolly mammoth was around.
And, wow, that's amazing. Hey, Eli, I hate to interrupt you. Would you mind if we took a quick break?
Well, let me just finish this up, okay?
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Okay, so Joni's in Naples Creek, and she finds this effigy, I think, or it was like a something that was made a long time ago out of stone. And 2 weeks later, we went to Schoharie Iroquois Festival, and we went into the museum, and Joni filed through their stuff they had saved, and the same piece that she found in the creek was in their museum or in their collectibles. But
wow.
it said effigy that was a bird woman. And so that was found in Schoharie Creek, and Joni found the same thing, but just a little bit different, but the same markings and everything in Naples Creek, which is pretty far away, but you know, it's like the stone work complements one another. You know, they're the same. It's like the same creator of the work, maybe. You know, that kind of thing.
But that's amazing. And she found, was it a stone? Was hers on like a rock?
It was a stone she picked up, and she just hugged it because she knew it was something special. You know, she was even questioning and said, "Oh, you really like that stone, don't you?" Somebody said, and yeah, she said, "What's there not to love?" It's, you know, she could sense the specialness of that stone. And I kind of like, I'm putting a date on it, you know, in respect to, it was before the Haudenosaunee people were here. So it had to be those other people that were with those woolly mammoths, you know?
That kind of thing. That's great.
Yeah, so that's the story, so we can take a little break, I guess.
Okay, yeah, let's just go into some music. We'll take a little break. Hang on with me, and we'll be back in just a minute or two, and then we'll continue on. How's that sound to you, okay?
Good, yeah.
Okay, all right, here we go. And I just wanted to let you know, Pat Carr is an amazing artist that I was able to find through SoundClick, actually. He's an original artist. He's out of New Orleans, Louisiana. Pat Carr can be reached at cartoons@pwcarrmusic.com or check him out on SoundClick. And he's got some amazing stuff out there. I'm really, really excited to be able to use his music on the show. And that song that we had just played was Know the Blues. This one here that's playing now is called Just One Thing, to give you a little bit taste of that. But I love his music, and I was very, very interested in his original artistry as well and wanted to be able to share him with all of you. So that's Pat Carr. And again, cartoons@pwcarrmusic.com or check him out on SoundClick. So here we go. We're going to get right back into our interview tonight with Eli Thomas. Eli, are you still there?
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
Great. Well, thanks for hanging on with us. And I wanted to talk to you, if we could, about the piece of art that I most recently purchased with you and have you tell the story of that artwork. It's the couple, and they're standing on a path, and the two paths come together and then join together under a tree with a heart. And the thing that I thought was very interesting with your art is when someone purchases a piece of art from you, they're not just getting a painting. They're getting a history. They're getting symbolism. There's a story behind every picture. And when they purchase it from you, you're always very cordial and take the time out to share what went into the painting. And then usually as a sideline, we get to experience another story that you have to tell as well regarding your culture. And the thing that I thought was really amazing is that on the back of your pictures, you not only autograph them, but also do another picture sometimes on the back of those as well with another mini story that goes along with it. Now, I don't know if that's something that just comes to you as you're talking to the person intuitively or something that you're guided to share with that person. But I remember on my picture, you put on the back two wolves howling at the moon, and I just thought that was incredible. So how about you tell us a little bit about that, the painting that I purchased from you, and then if something comes to you to be able to, when you autograph the back of the picture, you know, if something's just given to you that you're guided to share with that person, or how does that work for you?
I don't know.
Flat, right? I'm sorry.
Let me see. What was that first question?
I'm sorry. The painting that I most recently purchased
from you is the one
about the, it's a couple and they're on a path, two different paths, and then they meet under a tree.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know. I'm calling the picture traveling together, because that's the ultimate thing about the whole image, is that the grandmother moon is for the strawberries, and that's in June. And the strawberry, the little ones are watched very carefully as they come back from the field. Some will eat the strawberries by themselves, and others will share the strawberries. But in respect to what it does, is being the first fruit of the year on Mother Earth, that's warm enough where you can take a little nap when you're picking the strawberries, that after all the work is done, the tasting is the sweetest taste anyone could imagine. And the ones that are the reddest, that are as big as your thumbnail, those are the best ones. And the elders were to watch very carefully, and knowing that all the little ones that went in the fields and came back had a good mind and a good heart. But there was ones that were special in respect to that. They didn't ate very little and shared all her strawberries. And it's kind of like a thing that happens in our lives. And sometimes elders will notice of this kind of activity and remember. So as one gets older, they'll be called over to an area and they say, there's a seat here. And I remember when you were growing up, all the time, you would be sharing those strawberries for a good mind and a good heart. So I think in respect to choosing leaders, long time ago, leaders for the nations, for the people, were always looked at as individuals who could be with a good mind and a good heart and who could share the whole idea in leadership form for
wow.
the people. Where, you know, the people is what makes the government, whereas it's plain and simple that sometimes females are making decisions that are affecting us, and sometimes males are making decisions. But we all have to take these decisions carefully in respect to our lives. So, you know, how wonderful it would be to be able to look at that, those strawberries as being a part of our lives in respect to the good mind and a good heart, and always being thankful. So that when we look at the picture, we can see birds in the lower branches for a peaceful enjoyment, a heartfelt message where the strawberries are part of that message, and the paths are part of the message as they come together. They will start to travel together, and the world is in front of them. You know, and so that's what that picture is about, Kalugam traveling together.
Right, and the two paths start out separated, but then in the center under the tree, which the boughs of the tree form a heart, then when they continue on one path. So to me, it was kind of like a joining of spirits, a joining of a couple, and then walking off together, you know, kind of like into the sunset, you know, the what everybody hopes to find in their life. Let's say that, right?
Right.
That's amazing. And there was another, wasn't there, you said there was a bird and then the heart and the tree and the strawberries. There was something you told me too about the symbolism with the colors, I thought.
The bright, sunny June day.
Wow. That is just so amazing to me. And then my next part of the question, because I know I kind of fired them off really quickly at you before, but when someone buys your artwork, I know I can tell just by the look on your face that it's really meaningful to you. And you also kind of check out the people that buy your artwork. And I don't know if it goes through your mind, you know, what drove them to buy that particular piece. But for some reason, and maybe it's just because we know each other from shows and stuff and we've talked before, but for some reason on mine, you flipped it over and drew the two wolves howling at the moon and told me another story when you signed your picture. Is that something that you're just, that comes from within as you meet a person and you talk to them as they're buying your artwork, or just something that came to you that day? Is it a random thing?
I don't know. I just, I think about how I started out as an artist when I was very young, and that's how I drew when I was younger. I drew like I do a little drawing, you know, that's how I would draw when I was little, you know.
I just thought that was really neat because I've always liked wolves, and you know, it was really a neat picture. And to me, it kind of, the two wolves looking up at the moon sort of correlated to the front of the picture, you know, with the couple walking on two different paths and then finding each other, you know, hopefully going on into eternal bliss or or what have you, continuing their journey together. I just thought it was a beautiful picture. All, again, let me emphasize that all of your artwork, it's really hard for me to choose when I get to see your stuff, you know, which one do I want or which one, because they all call out to me, and they all, even though I'm looking at the surface of the painting, I do catch some of the symbolism in those, you know, and they mean different things to me maybe than they do to you, but every single one of your pieces honestly speaks to me on some level, and that's what I find very interesting about your artwork. And then also, as I said, you know, the 3D effect, the fact that there's just so much, you know, in the sky or in the ground, not just the surface of the picture. It's never just a picture for you. And that's what I think makes your work so much different than so many of the others that we see nowadays. And there seems to be a lot of energy in them, you know, and I think that that's really neat. So I love your stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So let's talk about what are your plans now? We've got about, I don't know, maybe 15 minutes left. Where are you going this summer? Maybe tell the people some shows that you're going to be at, what you'll be doing, how you'll be involved in your culture, as well as traveling around doing your art shows. What have you got in store for the summer?
Next weekend, I'll be, or this coming weekend, I'll be in Pittsburgh, and then next following weekend, I'll be in Forksville, at the Forksville Fairgrounds for a powwow they have every year. And a friend of mine who got me into the show, he just passed away just about
I'm
4
sorry.
Days ago. And
oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
He was a condoled chief at Onondaga for the Eel Clan, and he just had a hard time, I guess, and you know, that was it for him. And I always think about, you know, when people their spirit moves on, it's like we say how a person is walking on this path, and there's strawberries on the path. On both sides are strawberries. And the person is picking the strawberries as they go, so they're not in a hurry. They have time to pick the strawberries. And they look up every once in a while when they're picking, and they could see that their family is around. Like for myself, if I were to be on this path, I would look up and I would see wolves. So I know that my relations were around me, that I have no sense of insecurity, that my family is gonna assist me if I need help. My family will assist me, you know, as I'm going on this path. And the whole thing about that is that when your spirit is on this path, it's also listening, and it can hear everyone saying how much they love this person on the path, how they got on the path. They talk to the person and tell them how they got on the path, and they wish that the journey will be a good journey on this path. And
wow,
for 10 days, this person on this path will hear all these different voices that he recognized when the person was living. He recognized these voices, and they're giving their love to that person, and he can hear it. So after the 10th day, the people on the Mother Earth have a giveaway and then a feast. with that, they bring that idea that that spirit, as it's on the path, can no longer hear the love, but is making more of a decision to continue on that path. So that's a little bit of that whole thing of the spirit world, that we are on a journey. You know, we're not, just because we're done here doesn't mean that we're done journeying. That this is just a part of a journey, that we are heading toward the path of stars in the sky, the path of stars in the sky that go across the night sky. That's our relations. That's our ancient and new relations. You know, so we're connected to the sky world in a lot of different ways, and the stars are part of what our spirit goes toward after it leaves the earth.
That's great. Now, so in your belief, once you go up, once you pass, what happens to you? You simply become part of the sky and live on that way? Or do you believe in reincarnation? How does that work for you? What do you believe?
All of the above.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's up to us as we have a spirit, and the spirit will sometimes do things, you know, how you say, reincarnate it, or transform into another living thing, you know, that kind of thing. I don't know. There's a lot of possibilities as far as what a spirit can do, you know. But you know,
in oral culture, though, when you were raised, what is it that you were raised to believe? What is it that your people told you?
Oh, that I guess the most that I heard from all the different nations of people talking was the idea that we are connected and related. Nothing stands alone.
Absolutely.
And in that recognition, we can see everything that's in front of us. And there are messages that are coming through, and we got to learn how to understand these messages that are coming in our direction all the time. And the natural world gives many, many, many messages of a lot of different things that are occurring. So we just got to be patient and, you know, take it all in every day. You know, it's happening out there, and we're happening. You know, that kind of thing. Action. We're in a thing of action, and there's no other way but to live as we lived long time ago. Our relations lived long time ago. We can live in the same way, that we can compliment things and care for things and being thankful for things and be with a good mind and a good heart and experience the peaceful enjoyment and all the different things that are coming with the natural world. We should get to know her a lot more than what we know now. Just, you know, take the shoes off and walk on the earth when it's warm out, and, you know, crunch through the snow and when the snow is there, and you know, whatever. As we journey, we just take every day the best we can, do the best we can every day, you know, starting out and stuff. So that's what I learned growing up at Onondaga, is that we speak as we would sing to one another, and as we're singing, it doesn't involve anything negative. There's no negativity in the singing. It's all positive energy. So if we can be in that way of positive energy, there's a lot of good things that are going to happen.
And that was one thing, that was what I was trying to get to, is the essence of who you are. Because when I meet you at the shows, you're always at peace. You're always very kind, very gentle. You always take the time out to talk to people and tell about your paintings. And there's a very unhurried nature about you. You always seem to be very centered and at peace with everything that you do. Even if the show's slamming busy and you guys are running around crazy, you still have that peaceful sense about you. You know, you both do. And I thought that was very interesting too. And so that's what I was trying to bring out to let the listeners know, is who you are as a person. And always too, you talk about peace. And I think that's so important today in the world that we live in, with everything going on in the country and internationally. You know, the fact that you're still holding on to that and carrying that through in your everyday life. That to me also was very amazing, because you don't just talk the walk, you walk the walk. Talk the talk, rather, you walk the walk. And, you know, it's really hard to find very genuine people sometimes nowadays. And every time I see you, you're the same guy, you know, every single time. Both of you are. And so that's one thing that I wanted to be able to share with everybody too, is that you're so legitimate in who you are, and it comes across through your artwork. You're really, it's so soulful, you know, and it's so beautiful to me. So we just have a couple of minutes left, and if you'd like to share your contact info again, so that everybody would know how to get a hold of you and your YouTube station again, and that way people can take a look at your video, stuff like that.
Okay. Let me see. I'm Eli Thomas at Etsy.com. That's my website and my selling page, I guess, but I use that as a website also. And my email is elithomas@yahoo.com. And I got Eli Thomas on Facebook.
And you're everywhere. You're everywhere, brother. That's great.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Well, it was so nice talking to you this evening. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing a little bit about your artwork and your life with us. I really appreciate it. And like I said, I know that you're extremely busy and that you have a lot of shows coming up. But thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
I'm looking forward to Beaver Lake in September. Beaver Lake.
Wow.
And I'm looking forward to Casanova on July. You know, those are two shows that I'm going to be doing. The beginning of July, I'll be in Casanova, and the beginning of September, I'll be in Beaver Lake.
That's great. I love Beaver Lake. It's beautiful. I love going there. Hope to see you out there. And also, just for everybody out there too, what would you say your price range is for your artwork?
I have magnets I sell for $7, I think. Or no, $8. I sell them for $8, and then everything goes up after that. Like,
you've got postcards, like greeting cards too, and as well as your full-size painting.
No.
I thought I saw little ones there when I was there at the last show.
Yeah, I do have little ones, but they're just they're matted pictures.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Artwork. Yeah.
Okay, that's great. So they range from, you know, $7-$8 to maybe what? What would you say your highest piece item is?
I don't know. I have I sold a picture for $2,400 a couple weeks ago.
Nice. Good for you. That's wonderful. Well, Eli, again, thank you so much for being on tonight. That was Eli Thomas, Native American artist, and he's given you all of his contact information. Please go on to YouTube and check out his pictures and the stories behind each picture. Everyone is so different. and so unique and so beautiful. And I'm sure that you'll find one that speaks to you. And if you're like me, you'll find many that speak to you. So thanks again, Eli. Thanks for coming on. It was great to have you.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. It was fun.
Thank you. I'm glad. Maybe we can do it again sometime.
Yeah. Hopefully.
All right. You take care.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.